This is Weekend Ag Matters, produced by the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network and News Talk 1540 KXEL. Here are your hosts, Dustin Hoffman and Anna Hastert.
Welcome to Weekend Ag Matters from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. I'm Dustin Hoffman, along here with Anna Hastert. Anna, how you doing this weekend?
I'm doing great, Dustin. It's been a busy week here at the network, but looking forward to enjoying some time off these next couple of days and just relaxing and getting ready to go next week.
Yeah, it's been a busy week, and of course, just as the week ended, we had a big announcement coming from President Trump. He decided to levy on Thursday, he announced Thursday, he's going to levy 5% tariffs against Mexico due to what he calls a flow of migrants coming across the country, and he wants Mexico to do something about it, and so he's leveling these tariffs starting June 10th. So, Anna, this right now doesn't give them a whole lot of time to react, unfortunately, and this could mean some interesting things with USMCA going through as well.
Right, Dustin. And on another somber note here, former Senate Agriculture Committee Chairman and longtime Mississippi lawmaker Thad Cochran passed away Thursday at the age of 81. Cochran served more than 45 years in the Senate before he resigned last April due to health concerns. Cochran, a Navy veteran, previously served three terms in the House of Representatives before joining the Senate. Cochran chaired the Senate Appropriations Committee at the time of his retirement. Current Senate Agriculture Chairman Pat Roberts, in a statement, said he treasured Cochran's friendship as the two worked on multiple farm bills together. Roberts called Cochran a good man and a level-headed legislator with qualities that are becoming scarce in Washington. President Donald Trump also made note on Twitter, calling Cochran a real senator with incredible values. He will be missed across the agriculture community.
On the other hand, we got some great news on Friday. It's news we've been waiting a long time for. With the summer driving season starting here on the weekend, we did hear that the EPA did approve E15 for year-round sales, so you should not see any stoppage of those sales here at the gas pumps as we go forward. Of course, we'll be following this story as more comes available. Of course, the RVO situation still coming up later in June, and of course, we're still waiting to hear what's been done on RIN reform, but at least E15 is available year-round, and that's a big win here for the state of Iowa and agriculture in general.
Yeah, and Dustin, speaking of disasters, the rains have not been kind to farmers as they've continued to stall planting progress across the Midwest and the entire United States, for that matter. The Department of Agriculture, of course, on Tuesday released the Crop Progress Report, which shows planting progress up to May 26. The 18 top-producing states reached 58% completion of corn plantings. That's compared to the five-year average of 90%. Indiana, Ohio, and South Dakota have planted less than 30% of their respective corn crops. Meanwhile, just 29% of the nation's soybean crop is planted, which is compared to 74% last year and the five-year average of 66%. Now, Dustin, this week I was able to catch up with a couple different farmers as part of our row crop run that's sponsored by the Iowa Seed Association. And later in this segment, we'll hear from one of those farmers just how favorable or unfavorable planting season has been for him and what he's looking to next.
Yeah, actually coming up in the next segment down, I will be talking with economist David Miller. He formerly was with the Iowa Farm Bureau, and he talked about this as well. You know, a lot of states already to our north have already had to make the decision on whether they're doing prevent plant acres. Iowa had to make the decision yesterday, or I should say Friday. And so it's one of those situations that's going to be developing and what's going to happen to the markets. But, let's go ahead and take a listen to what you have put together for us.
Thanks, Dustin. I had the opportunity to sit down with Sam Osi of Hamilton County. Sam participates in the Iowa Seed Corn Cover Crop Initiative, which is overseen by the Iowa Seed Association, as well as several partner companies. Sam and I decided to go over things in chronological order, so let's go back to the fall of 2018, where farmers first started to battle unfavorable conditions.
We ended up being in a slightly better position, I think, than the average for the territory, in that we got a bit more of our fall work done. I don't know exactly what circumstances led us to be able to do that, but there were a couple of the big weather events that went a little bit north or a little bit south of us. We got most of our fall tillage work done, not all. We got a significant fraction of our fall fertilizer work done, but not even half. Mm-hmm. And then the weather shut us down. And we spent all winter thinking about, oh my goodness, what are we going to do this spring? Well, the spring proved to be about the same as the fall.
Now, the Iowa Seed Corn Cover Crop Initiative promotes cover crops following seed corn harvest. And Sam did that, and he discussed some of the challenges that he had with the cover crop with last fall's wet conditions.
The challenge with cover crops in this part of the world is always getting them planted or seeded, however you're doing it, in a timely enough manner that you have enough of a season in the fall for them to grow to a beneficial size. That problem has led to the choices of cover crops that we use around here. We generally just use cereal rye because none of the blends and the various other options tend to grow long enough to be beneficial. So we had a number of fields that were seeded last fall, and we seeded them as soon as we felt was realistically possible after we harvested the fields. But nonetheless, then the weather turned cold right away, and even the ones that germinated last fall never grew more than an inch or two. So that seed germinated this spring, but it didn't have anywhere near the sort of growth potential that it would have if the weather had allowed us to get 6 inches of growth last fall. So we do the best we can to get it on there in a timely manner, and then it's up to nature to adjust the weather accordingly. Now, the challenges from small rye or small cover crops are less than if you're dealing with a 4-foot tall cover crop that's already going to seed. It's easier to manage with tillage or with chemicals. It just dies easier because it has less biomass to it. But the challenges that we had this year, we had one field that did get seeded earlier last fall and had grown quite a bit. And so we feel like we needed to control that one. And we had a window where we were hoping to be able to plant soybeans into it in the near future. So we took the opportunity to spray it while we had the sprayer out and running. Well, the soybeans still haven't been planted. So we have a field of now thoroughly dead cover crop that is still doing a good job of erosion control and weed control. But if we'd known what the weather was going to be a month in advance, we would have probably handled it slightly differently.
Now, fast forwarding to spring of 2019, Sam was able to get all of his commercial corn planted, but he still has all of his soybeans and a couple more fields of seed corn yet to plant. So I asked him if he has any concern about getting that crop in moving forward.
The weather has been such this spring that plan A, the ideal circumstances how we'd like to do it, is nothing but a distant memory. We've got half of our seed corn fields in, and they are growing nicely. We have a couple of fields yet to go that are not very well-drained fields, and because of that, the ducks are still enjoying them at the moment. And we hope that in the next few days, weeks, we'll get enough sunshine and wind to dry them out that we can get in and plant them. The window certainly hasn't closed yet. Seed corn has typically just a shorter growing season than commercial corn, so even though it's planted later, it will still be probably the first thing harvested in the fall. So since that window is broad, we're not out of time yet. But yes, we're definitely nervous about it. What would we do if we didn't have a window to get our seed corn in before that window shut? I don't know. Probably soybeans, but even that, we're getting to the point where soybeans are starting to become a question mark too.
Now, Sam mentioned that he was nervous, but before we started our recording, he also mentioned that he was optimistic. So I went back and asked him that same question again as to why he was optimistic yet.
Well, I'm a lot more optimistic today than I was 4 days ago. The markets have taken a positive turn in the last couple days, and that always makes everyone just a little bit happier and a little bit more confident they're going to be able to farm again next year. Why am I optimistic? I kind of hate to say it, but looking around the Midwest, there are a lot of places that are in even worse circumstances than we are. So the markets will probably support those farms that managed to get a crop in this year. And the prevented plant options that a lot of farmers are considering, which is a function of the federal crop insurance program, are probably going to be enough of a support. Maybe those farmers aren't making money, but they're hopefully not going to be losing vast amounts of money this year. As for why I'm optimistic, farming continues to improve. Looking at the longer term picture, yields go up, equipment gets better, practices get better. As things like cover crops and other, I'll say, integrated management techniques get further developed and further accepted by the farming community, that has to help. That has to make things better. And I think that there is enough both political interest in those sort of things and enough interest in the farming community that, farming is eager to go forward into the future and not just stay where it was 40 years ago.
Once again, that was Sam Osi of Hamilton County joining me for a conversation as part of the Row Crop Run project that we have going on with the Iowa Seed Association. You can find more interviews from growers that are participating in the Row Crop Run on our website, which is iowaagnet.com. Stay tuned to Weekend Ag Matters. We'll have more after the break.
Data is data is data. Unless you work with FS, then your data comes with expert insight. Tapping into a wide range of technologies through MyField, your FS crop specialist evaluates trial data from your farm, along with only the most qualified aggregated data that reveals trends in your area. With MyField, your FS crop specialist delivers the insights you need to build your ROI. Learn how results from FS nitrogen trials can be applied to your farm at fsmyfield.com. FS, bringing you what's next.
You're listening to Weekend Ag Matters from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. Here again is Dustin Hoffman.
Welcome back to Weekend Ag Matters from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. Friday marked the deadline for making your decisions on prevented planting acres or late planting regarding your crop insurance. Mother Nature has been certainly smacking us around pretty good. Actually, harken back to that scene in Full Metal Jacket with the bars of soap and the tube socks. You'll remember it if you saw the movie. A lot of tough decisions were made this week, and David Miller, formerly of the Iowa Farm Bureau, now a chief economist with Decision Innovation Solutions, talks about the situation farmers have found themselves in. Not only is weather a factor, but so is the disaster relief bill that seems to be going nowhere fast, and even a possible second round of market facilitation payments.
What happens when we hit the prevent plant deadlines? Some states have already hit it. There is a group of, it's not totally states because prevent plant deadlines for crop insurance don't follow strictly on state lines. But there's a significant area of South Dakota, North Dakota, parts of Minnesota that have a May 25th is the deadline for full coverage of crop insurance. And that's really what the potential is when we talk about prevent plant deadlines. It's the date at which you can apply for prevented planting or go into late planting where your insurance coverage drops by 1% every day. And so there's a real dichotomy going on relative to the decisions that producers have to make. Do I plant late with less coverage? Do I take prevented planting? And now with the government announcements last week, you have two additional considerations. One is based on the data that we've seen so far or the announcements we've seen so far, the USDA's trade assistance package that they're talking about for the summer will be based upon total planted acres. It's not just soybean acres like it was last time or soybean production, but this time it is. It'll be a county rate based upon planting of a whole list of eligible commodities. And so it's corn, it's soybeans, it's wheat, it's canola, a whole list of commodities. So there is a real incentive to plant, but the Senate passed a disaster bill that had enhanced support for prevented planted acres, really focused along the rivers and some of these flooded areas, but we haven't seen the details, but that did not pass the House yet. So you've got the uncertainty of not knowing what might be the package for preventive planning beyond what's in the insurance coverage. We know the trade package does push for planting. And for soybeans, we've still got, for example, in Iowa, our prevent plant date for corn is May 31st, the end of the month. And soybeans, we don't start losing insurance coverage until June 15th. So you've got longer time to plant soybeans. And that becomes the decision is when does a farmer take prevent plant? When does he switch over to soybeans? Part of it may depend on does he already have the fertilizer down for corn? You know, there's a fair amount of anhydrous and nitrogen fertilizer got put on corn ground 2-3 weeks ago, and there's not been a fit day to plant since then. So you've got ground that's got a real incentive to go to corn, but at what point do you follow up on that? So there's a rash of decisions to be made here over the next week, 10 days, with regard to either prevent plant on corn, switch to soybeans, or even prevent plant on soybeans. So, you know, I know on my particular farm, I've got about 20 acres of beans left to plant, but I need probably 5 dry days to get it back on those fields. And we haven't had 2 dry days in the last 3 weeks. So, and then we get more rain, and it's raining today. So, we look at the forecast, I think there's 2 maybe dry days in the next 8 days in the forecast. So I'm probably looking at least out to June 10th already with unlikely scenarios relative to finishing up planting.
So what could this do to the markets and our carryover? David Miller rolls out an interesting theory.
Well, one of the big questions is what kind of supply are we going to have? We had 42 million acres not planted to corn as of last Monday. Now, what are we going to have unplanted when we hit the prevent plant dates? You know, which we're already hitting in some states. We're there in the rest of the Midwest. We basically hit it either May 31st or June 5th. I think parts of Illinois and Indiana are June 5th. I think it's quite possible we could have 25, 30 million acres unplanted when we hit those prevent plant dates. I did some tertiary analysis on where we might be, and it's not a projection. It's just saying, well, what would happen if we only planted 70 million acres of corn instead of 90? What if we had 20 million acres of prevent plant or switch? Because it may not all be prevent plant with the incentive as late as it's getting and the incentive to plant something because of the trade adjustment being tied to planted acreage, there may be a real incentive to plant after June 1st, but they may want to plant beans. Well, what if we only get 70 million acres of corn? Well, that says you're only going to produce about 11 billion bushels of corn, because we're likely going to have slightly below trend line yields, as wet as it is, as many drowned out spaces and the cool temperatures. There's a lot of reasons why yields are probably going to be below trend, not above trend this year. Add in the carryout that we go in, and it says we just don't have the crop to meet all the demand that we've historically had. Now, again, it's not a projection at this point, but it's a look at and say, well, if we only have 13 billion bushels to work with, then we've got to cut about 10 billion bushel or 10% out of feed demand. We've got to cut 15% out of ethanol crush, and we need to cut 40% out of exports. And that would get you down to about 600 million bushels of carryout, and 600 bushels carryout would be back in the scenarios that we had in 2012 and 13. So I wrote a little article last week that said, is it possible that 650 corn is in the cards? Well, it is if we end up with just 70 million acres planted. we still need to plant 20 million acres to get to that. And so that becomes the big question. If the rain keeps coming, how do we get the acreage planted? And if we plant or shift 15 million acres to beans, and we end up planting 100 million acres or more of beans, is there the possibility that the price of corn in the next 12 months could exceed the price of beans? Something, again, that's never happened, but we're in some scenarios here that are probably setting records in terms of we're probably going to have record amount of prevent plant given the scenarios we see today and the rainfall forecasts that are ahead of us. We're probably going to see possibly close to record acres of beans, although the bean planting is way behind also. Normally, we're at about 60% planted for beans on a national basis. We were at 28%. So the bean planting is way behind. Now, we've got a couple more weeks, and in fact, you could push bean planting maybe to June 20th, June 25th, with some reductions in the crop insurance guarantees. But a lot of guys may push bean planting, but corn planting, there's becomes a real, you know, June 10th or so, most guys probably won't push corn planting beyond that date. You just start running into a lot of problems. So those are the types of issues of, you know, some of the big surpluses we have could all go away very quickly if the rain keeps up for another 2 weeks.
Miller recommends if you're holding on to some unsold corn in your bins, be alert and be flexible. There's a lot of uncertainty, and you could benefit or kick yourself in a short amount of time. We'll be back on Weekend Ag Matters right after these messages.
You're listening to Weekend Ag Matters from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. Here is Ken Root.
I want to propose a way to make businesses more competitive. I want to have more workers in private industry and less on the government payroll. I want startup businesses encouraged, but I want companies to have a steeper hill to climb as they grow large and consider merging with their competitors. I'm not trying to be politically left or right, but to set the framework for a credible regulatory environment and give voice to those who want Congress and the administration to enforce laws fairly. Monopoly should be seen as a failure rather than the ultimate success. Capitalism should provide the opportunity to succeed, but the threat of failure should be constant. Corporations should be redefined with greater accountability placed on ownership and management, with civil and criminal penalties as the tools to do so. Ethical conduct by management should be rewarded, but illegal and immoral acts by those who are in a position of corporate power should be condemned by society. I don't buy the theory that only big companies can come up with good ideas or new innovations. Looking back through our history, the ideas came from individual entrepreneurs with capital from investors. They all benefited from this risk-reward concept. Now a company with a better product is usually bought by a behemoth who rolls it into a low-cost, high-volume production system. The original owner of the small and innovative company hits a wall when they realize the path to more sophisticated production and larger distribution is blocked by a huge competitor. So that owner sells and walks away because it's the easiest and often the only pathway. So my objective is to take a hard look at unfettered capitalism that promotes monopolistic tactics. I think corporations have too much power and too little accountability. White-collar crime goes virtually unpunished. Fines of astonishing amounts can be levied against the company, but damage done by top management is only punished by resignation or retirement, with some shame and usually a lot of money. A challenge for government is how to keep companies from having undue influence in the political, legislative, and regulatory process. Many companies fund both sides of a campaign, so they always have a friend in office, no matter who wins. They shop regulators, so their pathway to a goal is less impeded by government agencies who are charged with enforcing the law. A lot of smart people work in corporate jobs for the purpose of navigating around and through government. They're charged with putting up barriers to competitors and maximizing the dominance of their brand. With over a year of election madness ahead of us, we need more emphasis on which candidates will look out for small business and keep the country competitive internally and worldwide. One side favors more government control and higher taxes on those who already pay most of the taxes. The other wants to make a fortress out of the country and fend off the rest of the world. Neither has a vision of how to foster growth or competition in the private sector. Business leadership should be equivalent to the highest moral calling of any profession. Those who cheat and break the law should be demoted, not promoted. We have the base values of capitalism in our beings, but we have to stand up at all levels and demand that businesses play by rules that are fair and that government oversight be concise and tough. That's the way I see it. I'm Ken Root on Weekend Ag Matters for the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
Thank you, Ken Root, and that's going to put the wraps on another edition of Weekend Ag Matters here from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. We thank you for tuning in, and we will see you back here again next week.